This is Fresh Air. 4 years ago, Peter Adair got tested for the HIV virus, the virus that causes AIDS. He tested positive and has been living with the uncertainty of whether he will develop full-blown AIDS. 2 years ago, he began a documentary movie about people who are HIV positive and how that knowledge has changed their lives. That film, Absolutely Positive, will kick off the fourth season of the documentary series POV, Tuesday evening at 10 on most public TV stations. Adair is probably best known for his 1978 documentary Word Is Out, which featured interviews with gays and lesbians telling their coming-out stories. Adair stayed behind the camera on that movie, but he talks about himself on camera in his new film. Some people who fear they've been exposed to the virus prefer not to know if they test positive. I asked Adair why he decided to get tested.
Frankly, I think I'll be more direct than I probably should. It's very stupid not to be tested. It's really a big mistake. You know, unless you're the kind of person that, you know, any serious bad news, you really will go off to the bridge and jump off. And I don't think many of us are that kind of person. It's much better to know the news. For one thing, you're contagious, and it's good to know that, even though the assumption is that you're practicing safe sex. Another thing is, you know, I've had friends who got sick and died in a matter of weeks without even knowing they were positive. And if they had known, and their doctors have been able to monitor their health, they might still be alive today because they can, you know, there's a lot of medicines that can at least delay the effect of the infection.
What are you doing health-wise that's different than you were before?
I've done different things, but primarily for the last couple of years, I've been taking AZT. I went off it a few months ago and now taking DDC, a similar medicine. And I've done various other kinds of things. I've did acupuncture for a while. I've done other kinds of voodoo in hopes that it will work.
When you got tested, did you have a doctor who you felt would be real graceful in delivering the news?
Well, in California, if you get tested on alternative test site, and they have a really terrific program that I think has been copied in a lot of places, and that it's absolutely anonymous, which is very important. And they have counselors there. So you look at this video, which we made, actually, and then when you come and get tested, and then you go back 2 weeks later and get your results. And these are people trained in counseling. And you hear from them, and it's a very good way of doing it. It's much better than hearing over the phone or, you know, in ways like that. For me, it was painful because I knew all the people at the test sites because we'd worked with them on other films. And so they just, or it was actually this one person just took one look at the results, and I knew the answer by her face. And that was much more painful.
So how did the movie look to you on the receiving end?
Boring.
What was boring about it?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, you've seen these. In first place, it's a film that's just full of chatter about what the disease is, you know, a narrator telling you. And I had heard that 139 times. It was very strange. Very strange. Yeah. And I knew I was going to have to look at it, but I couldn't figure out what anything, you know, there was no response. Like, I couldn't ask to be excused. I've seen this.
I had to just sit there. Would you make it differently if you were doing it now?
No. I think the movie was fine. You know, basically what you have to do in those films is in 15 minutes or 10, or, you know, 12 minutes or however long they are, you have to cover a lot of information, especially back then we did when no one really knew what the test meant. So there's a limit to how much you can do in a film like that. In another way, it was sort of fun watching it, so you know, you could see in its real context. But also, you know, I was so nervous and about getting the test and that I can't say that I was, you know, absorbing every minute.
So when you were watching your own movie at the health center, did you watch it alone or with other people?
Oh, in a group. Now, it's clear to listeners, I hope, that it wasn't this film, obviously. It was a training film.
Right, it was a training film.
No, you watch it in groups. They sort of cycle you through. You know, you go with 15 other people or whatever there was, and you look at it all together, and then you go and get your blood drawn.
So you
and
were then, probably watching their reaction, right?
You know, yeah. I was also thinking, thank God I'm not in the film.
Right.
Or they, you know, turn around and look at me.
What did you do the day before you got the results? Did you do anything to, like, psychologically prepare yourself or go through any of these, like, I won't step on any cracks and then I won't test positive? You know what I mean?
No, I'm sure I did psychologically. You know, you assume, as a gay man, the chances were, and living in San Francisco, that I was positive. And a lot of people express great anxiety waiting for the 2 weeks or however long it is. And I don't remember having a lot of anxiety. It was just sort of fate, whatever happened, happened. Then after the news, of course, it was very difficult.
Did you tell all your friends?
Yeah, I was pretty open about it pretty quickly. I remember telling my parents fairly early on, and that was actually one reason I got tested. I I didn't want to come down with AIDS and die, you know, without, in other words, I felt if I was going to die of this disease, better it should be sort of a ramp, you know, that people should know about it slowly. And ironically, I remember the first Christmas, it was, I got tested in the fall, I think, and Christmas is usually at my parents' house, but that particular season I decided to have it at my house, and I did a big tree and I made it very festive, thinking it was my last Christmas. And embarrassingly, there have been three more since then.
So you test positive, but do you have any symptoms of AIDS?
No, and it's hard to tell, you know. I have some symptoms. I have these sort of spates of headaches that last for 3-4 days at a time. And I don't know whether it's AIDS or not. It's really hard to tell. For the most part, my health has been really good. I also, very soon after I got tested, came down with a terrible neck infection, which they never figured out what it was. And I was in the hospital for 2 weeks and came close to dying from it. And they didn't know whether it was HIV. I didn't know whether it was HIV. But, you know, it's like assuming whether or not someone is gay. I always say, assume they are unless proven otherwise.
How do you interpret testing positive? Do you see it as like a certain sign that you will eventually get AIDS, or do you think that, you know, medically the jury's still out on what testing positive means?
Well, I maintain sort of, if you can maintain an ambiguity in your mind somehow, I don't know, you know, and I think it's sort of foolish to make up your mind one way or another. You know, I don't know that I'm going to get AIDS. I certainly don't know that I'm going to survive the disease. And I'm able to live in that sort of gray limbo land.
If you're just joining us, my guest is filmmaker Peter Adair, and his new movie is called Absolutely Positive, and it's interviews with several people who test positive for the AIDS virus, and Adair himself is in the movie. It will be shown on most public television stations as part of POV this Tuesday night at 10 o'clock. More after the short break. This is Fresh Air. Peter Adair is my guest, and his new movie, Absolutely Positive, is a documentary about people who test positive for the AIDS virus. You asked a lot of the people in your movie if they blamed themselves for being positive. Did you go through a period of that yourself, of blaming yourself?
In a way, I do all the time. You know, I think, you know, I made Word Is Out, which was about the glory of being gay, but I still feel guilty about it occasionally. I spent 7 years saying gay is good, and I think it is, or it is whatever it is. But there's something in the back of my mind that always, you know, that's there, that sort of, you know, did I deserve this, or you know, is gay not good, or, you know, it's just this very little voice way in the back. And it comes up about this disease, you know. People say, well, those faggots deserved AIDS. And I think, I mean, it's the nature of sort of internalized depression that there's a little bit of you, or at least of me, that for your whole life you have to fight these bigoted attitudes.
Have you gone through trying to figure out exactly how you got it? Who passed
No.
it on? What, I mean, is that something that you think you should not do, that is no point to it?
Well, I don't know if there's a point to it. I mean, there's no way I could figure it out. I was very active sexually in the 70s before we heard about the disease. You know, I guess if I had had sex twice and got the disease, I'd certainly spent a lot of time figuring out which of the two it was, but it wasn't twice for me, I'll tell you.
Do you feel that any friends or family treat you differently now? Because you're positive?
I don't think so. You know, I have I'm very lucky. I own my own company. I have very supportive friends and parents. You know, if anything, I think I was sort of the good boy in the family, and I wasn't allowed to be sick. I was, you know, always the one that was supposed to be happy and healthy. And in some ways, this has legitimized my, you know, being human. So that's changed. You know, I think my attitude towards other people has changed more than theirs towards me, probably.
Well, how so?
Well, I mean, that's an example that I feel legitimate to not always be happy and healthy and, you know, the smiling one, although I tend to be that most of the time anyway. I have less time for, you know, bullshit, less... I don't know. I think I'm, although work is the most important thing in my life and has always been, I think I'm, non-work things are becoming more important. That's partly because this last year I've fallen in love and I'm maybe living perhaps a little more existentially. I realize that there's other wonderful things in life, and if I'm going to have them, I have to get them now.
You know, I think it must be really hard for people who test positive if they're prone to hypochondria or, you know, health paranoia, if you always think you're coming down with something.
Right.
Are you like that, or is that not a problem for you?
You know, hypochondriacs can never admit their state, so I can't answer that question. You know, it's very hard to know, because if you, you know, I don't like calling attention to myself. So you see something on your leg. I had a purple spot on my leg that looked like Kaposi's, which is one of the main diseases you die of. And I freaked out about it, and I went to the doctor, and I felt foolish. You know, I didn't know, for God's sake, this may mean that I have got even less time around here, and I want to know what it is. But yet, when you're in the waiting room, you say, you know, I hope this isn't, because that means I'm going to die, but I hope it is, because I've barged my way in here and made it, screamed at people to get an early appointment. You know, there's always that double, that double feeling. Damn if you do, damn if you don't. It wasn't, thank God.
Was what they tell you it was?
It was just some purple, you know, cancerous mark on my leg, and they were great. But I could have had another doctor. I had doctors who were very different. I can remember a doctor who I went to. I had some sort of, you know, minor arthritis feeling. I think it was from volleyball or something. And I went to the doctor, and I said, I want you to know I'm positive. Just it may have to do with your diagnosis. And he looked at me and he said, oh, well, I hope you know your life is hanging by a thread. So you get different responses. That was fairly early on in the epidemic.
What'd you say?
I told him to go to hell. You know, I was very upset, and then I called him later, and when I was more rational, and, you know, told him this is not the way that you, you know, you deal with this. And he actually apologized.
Do you really notice a difference in how you expect people will react to being positive when you leave San Francisco? I mean, there's such awareness in San Francisco.
Right, right.
And there's other parts of the country where there just isn't. And,
right.
I wonder if you just are very conscious of that when you're
I am,
outside.
Actually. Yeah. I thought on the plane, I was sitting next to someone, and I was sort of avoiding conversation with her because I knew she was going to ask me, you know, we'd start talking about the film, or that what am I going to East for? And I'd say, I have a film, and what is it about? Well, it's about people who are HIV positive. And then it might come to me, and I just didn't want to deal with it. So in that way, I am. And I guess once my, you know, once this is broadcast, and it could well happen. I don't know what'll happen. We'll see. You know, we'll deal with it when it happens. But I was, you know, although my picture wasn't all over Word Is Out, the, you know, publicity and so on, it was out, and I was worried, you know, well, what happens, you know, when I'm in another city that's not all that open to gay people. But nothing ever bad happened. Maybe I'm lucky.
I want to quote something you say at the very end of the movie. You say, sometimes I wonder how I'd feel if they found a cure tomorrow. Then you say, the irony is that I think I'd be depressed. I've tried so hard to be realistic about things, to accept this change of fortune that's become a part of who I am. And if that part were taken away, I think there'd be something missing. And then you pause and say, I'd get over it, though. Are you getting any grief for that?
Do I what?
Are you getting any grief for saying that?
No, no. I mean, the film hasn't been broadcast yet.
That's true. Okay.
But, you know, what kind of grief would come from that statement? Now you're getting me all nervous.
I didn't mean to make yourself... I guess my reaction to that was, oh, give me a break. Do you know what I mean? Like you...
Uh-huh.
You
think that is precious?
Well, no, that you'd probably... I mean, wouldn't you really just be wouldn't you just be purely,
ecstatic.
Really glad if there were a cure?
No, there'd be mixed feelings. You know, I can't explain it, and maybe it's just my perverse nature, but I remember we were doing a film called Stopping History, which was broadcast on PBS about the bomb, and in the middle of doing that film, there was some serious negotiations going on, and we thought there was going to be some serious arms reduction, and I remember being very threatened by that, you know? Of course, you know, you wouldn't do this work if you didn't hope the other way, but, I mean, it has, in order to live with this disease and with the reality and the ambiguity, you know, and this sort of Damocles, which is over your head all the time, you really have to come to terms with it. And coming to terms with it means that you are a different person than you were before. You know, knowing that in any time now, I could come down with a very, very serious disease and eventually die from it is different. And you can't be the same person with that knowledge. So all of a sudden, if that's taken away... if all of a sudden there's a cure, of course I'd be ecstatic and dancing in the street and a lot of things would change. But on the other hand, there's you know, there'd be a lot to think about, a lot of things to change back. I would welcome them, but I know it wouldn't be easy. You know, in the same way, there are groups in San Francisco for gay men who are negative. And, you know, you want to, you know, it's like groups of people who are so rich that they don't know what to do with their money or something. You know, you know, get over it is what you want to say. But there's, you know, friends are dying all around you, and it's a preoccupation with everybody, and you're having to help them go to funerals. This is for someone who's negative. You know, there's going to be survivor guilt, and there's going to be even some envy, believe it or not. I'm sure there is. And this is sort of the flip side of that.
Well, I wish you the best, and I wish you good health.
Thank you.
And thank you very much for talking with us.
Great. Thank you.
Peter Adair directed the new movie Absolutely Positive. It will be shown on most public TV stations Tuesday evening at 10 as part of the series POV. This is Fresh Air.